Today on Real Radio.
Now look, I told you you're going to hate me by the end of this message here. This is big stuff. This is what Jesus is saying. You are the salt of the earth. You make things taste better, and you make things sting.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. In Luke chapter 14, verses 34 and 35, Jesus explains one of these, which is sometimes not considered a parable. But remember, parables are types of analogies, and this time we're talking about the parable of being the salt. Two short verses with a whole lot of powerful meaning. So let's get into it. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with the parable of being the salt.
And you shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. How cool is that? See, why is that cool? Because God says, here's the deal. Whatever you offer me, salt's got to be in it, because salt announces purity. Salt announces cleanliness. Salt announces the fact that, listen, God's words are eternal truth. You are the salt of the earth. Whatever offering you bring to me, put salt in it. I like to look at it this way. I'm making this part up right now. Everything I told you right now is biblically, except this part. Are you ready? Whatever offering I give to God, I want, Jack, not you, I'm talking about me. I want it to be this way. Whatever offering it is, if God said, I'm the salt of the earth, and I come in here tonight and I worship the Lord, remember, an offering, grain offering is a worship offering. Did you worship tonight? Yes. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Salt was offered up in the offering. Yes. What's the salt? What is the salt? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Amen. Worship. You can't worship God unless you're salty. You can't give God worship unless there's salt in the offering. And that salt is you.
Amen.
That salt is us. Didn't Jesus say you're the salt of the earth? How many are Christians? Who am I talking to in here tonight? Raise your hand. Okay then. We're Christians. He says you're salt. Worship me. How cool is that? Makes you want to get your salt on. Right? And gas, bring out the band and the angels, and I love that. In Romans 12, very familiar verse, you guys all know this. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Listen to the New Living Translation. We'll shake it up a little bit. The New Living Translation, Romans 12, listen to this. This is salt in the worship. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Isn't that an awesome motivation to serve God? Don't serve God because somebody tells you to. Serve God because you are so happy about all that he's done for you. You say, Lord, let me do something back. You see? I hope if you're serving here in this church, that's your motive. Well, I'm serving because you told me to. Then don't serve anymore. But if you're serving because I can't, listen, it should come out of you like this. I can't take it anymore. God has been so good to me. I got to do something. Oh, man, that's salty. That's awesome. He goes on, Romans 12, verse 1. He says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, salt, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2, listen. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The whole thing is salty. The whole thing is salty. Have you ever heard me say on Sunday mornings, predominantly sometimes Wednesday nights when this is happening, where people make a decision for Christ, And, you know, some people have feelings, some people don't have feelings. Some people, and it's tough because if, you know, some people are getting saved or they're in worship, they're in the, and they're like, oh, do you feel that? They're like, do you feel that? Oh, God is here. And I don't feel nothing. I've never felt nothing. And I'm like, am I alive? That guy's crying. He's singing songs and crying. Or somebody, listen, people come forward to accept Christ. And someone's crying and they're like, oh, Jesus. Oh. And that's awesome. I'm not knocking it. It's awesome. But there's a guy standing right here and I'm looking at him. He's like, you know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with that. People emotionally respond to situations differently. It has nothing to do. Is God in it or not? Has nothing to do with it. And somebody will say, and I know they mean well, you can feel the Lord here. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? You can feel him here. I don't know what that means. But I can tell you this, wherever the word of God is exalted, Jesus said the Spirit will be at work, and listen, the kingdom of God is near you. Okay, but how do you feel? I don't know, feel. I don't know. Feel, I don't know. But he said it. He said, listen, it's with you. Okay then. Goosebumps or not, he's true. Are you with me? Some of you hardened dudes needed to hear that. Okay? Because just because you don't get a tear in your eye doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that God's abandoned you or you abandoned God. I remember really going through a head trip with that when I first got saved. I don't feel nothing. And I'm listening to all these awesome Christian songs and people are just weeping. I had a friend, his name is Richard. We were in church together. Lisa's to my left, Richard's to my right. And Lisa grew up in church. She knows every song. All the old hymns, boom. She walks around our house singing ancient hymns. My wife. She knew them from a baby. Okay, I didn't know nothing. Then Richard's next to me, and he's weeping. And he's weeping, and she knows all the songs. And I'm like, I'm going to hell in a handbasket. And I remember one time, now don't, you cannot tell anybody this, listen. I remember going home one time, and I was so disgusted with me that I took my Bible, and I said, God, I'm sure you want nothing to do with me. And I took my Bible, watch this, and I threw it. And the moment I let go of it, I went like this, I'm done with this, I'm done with this. And I threw it, and the moment I threw it, I went, oh no. And I went running, and I ran, and it crashed and broke, because it was all, and I was crying like a little baby. And then I stood up. I cried. I cried. I had to repent of that, but. The third thing, verse 35, is that salt as an aseptic, not antiseptic, an aseptic, it's different. If something is aseptic, it means that it's void of impurities, okay? If something is antiseptic, it means that it controls and manages disease or sickness. There's a difference. When Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, he's talking about aseptic, meaning that what he's doing in us in the world is being agents that are purged or cleansed or clear. And he deploys us into the world. So I want you to think about this right now. Watch this. Advancing goodness is something that God has commanded us. Now watch, listen carefully. I'm gonna be misunderstood if you're not listening. There's a big cry today, predominantly, don't take my word for it, predominantly among liberal churches regarding the issue of social justice. Social justice has taken the budget away from missionary ventures in liberal churches. They don't do missions anymore. They stopped them. They brought everybody back from Africa and everybody back from China, and they said, no, we're going to focus on our own backyard. Listen, We're going to focus on our own backyard, and we're going to do these social justice programs. It sounds nice on the surface. Now, fine print, a church should focus on their own backyard all the way around the globe until it comes around to the other side of the yard. Okay? So, hear me out. When you make social justice your evangelistic work or your mission, you're not preaching the gospel. When you preach the gospel, good works should follow the preaching. But you never put good works out in front of the preaching. Preaching goes out in front, and the works follow the preaching. Are you with me? Jesus set this pattern. He spoke the word of God and then confirmed the word of God by the power of miracles. That's why the Bible says, don't follow the miracle, follow the word. Jesus said, go, preach the word, and these miracles shall follow. Right? So listen, I'm not saying leave the homeless homeless. I'm saying give them the word of God while you're finding them a place. This is vitally important. So in saying this, listen, being salt, we need to get a good biblical understanding of what that means. Because it is all-encompassing. In fact, where would you, as a Christian, not be salt? Where would you not be salt? Exactly. You are to be salt everywhere. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that you should be salt everywhere? How many of you are school teachers? Raise your hand. Should you be salt in the school? That's going to be tough this year. How many of you are construction workers? Raise your hand. Contractors. You're supposed to be salt there. What does that look like? Josiah, LAPD, you got to be salt there, man. That's tough. Where are you not to be salt? You're a Christian. Where are you a Christian? Everywhere. Now look, I told you you're going to hate me by the end of this message here. This is big stuff. This is what Jesus is saying. You are the salt of the earth. You make things taste better, and you make things sting. Can you, especially you young people, I know there's a lot of young people in here tonight. I saw you come in. You have it tough, man. It's not too tough for God. Just make sure you're connected to God. Because he's telling you right now, listen, you need to go back to that campus. And you need to start being salty for me no matter what happens to you. Are you willing to get thrown into the lion's den for my truth? That's being salt. When microphones and cameras gather around you and they ask you a question and you know what the answer is, the flesh says, smooth it out, tone it down, compromise just a bit. You'll gain friends and influence people that way. And the Holy Spirit's saying, say what I say about it. You got to be salt. This is a serious thing. In James 4:7, the Bible says, therefore submit to God. That's not an option. It's a command. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You remember how Flip Wilson, those of you who are 100 or around 100 years of age, do you guys, anybody, encourage me. Who remembers Flip Wilson? Raise your hands. Okay. Do you remember when Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do that? That's not true. The devil cannot make you do anything. He can only make very strong suggestions. The rest we do. And the Bible says, James 4:7 says, resist the devil. Submit to God. First key. Submit to God. That's where your power is. And then you'll be able to resist the devil. And he will flee. Isn't that great? Guaranteed. Man, I just fell into sin. No, you did not. You hunted it down. You were looking for it. You had GPS on it. You didn't fall into it. I don't know what happened, man. Yes, you do. The next thing regarding this is Colossians 4, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. That's the unbelievers. Walk in wisdom toward them. You going back to the college campus tomorrow? Walk in wisdom toward the unbelieving world. I was talking to somebody recently about evolution. It's absolutely awesome. It was awesome. You know what's great about being a Christian? If you stay biblically based, you're always right. I mean, I know it doesn't sound arrogant, but it's this. Stay biblical and you'll always be right. And this guy's going through, well, you know what? Believing in God is stupid because you know what? Everyone knows that this thing got a leg and then feathers later, and that's how it got here. And I'm listening to this guy talk. He's like, dude, I so respect your level of faith is massive. I don't have that kind of faith. And I know God. To believe that, whoop, and then it climbs up, here I am. From a mud hole of ammonia and lightning. Man, that's amazing. Walk in wisdom toward the world. They don't understand it yet, but they actually need us to walk them off the edge. Redeeming the time, Colossians 4, verse 5, let your speech always be seasoned or be with grace. Seasoned with what? Salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. How awesome is that? Don't answer people with what they want to hear. Answer them with the truth. Number four, salt as an enhancer. Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Wow, sounds like we're reading the book of Revelation there for a moment, huh? Jesus, you know what that means? Jesus is saying, what I just said to you is so serious, and I just threw out a parable to you, and it just landed right alongside your head. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Well, that's ridiculous. Everybody's got ears. That's not what he's saying. Do your ears work? That's what he's challenging. Do your ears work? Of course they work. No, no, no. Are they connected to your heart? Do you use them to listen? And when you hear it, do you process it, think about it, and then decide? Let him who has ears to hear, hear. And we'll end with this. I want to suggest to you tonight that according to Jesus, listening and hearing are spiritual faculties. Google Dr. John Lennox or Oxford University, Dr. Lennox. I've been watching him debate Richard Dawkins, and it got me on Richard Dawkins debates. I've been watching every Richard Dawkins debate I can find. He's a famous evolutionist, probably the most famous evolutionist today, an atheist. And I wrote this down so I wouldn't mess it up. When I hear what Richard Dawkins has heard in these debates, I shudder. How can he still be an unbeliever when so much excellent logic, scientific fact, and reason has been placed into his ears to ponder? The greatest minds in the world are arguing with him about the existence of God from science, his own peers. He gets angry in the debates. He loses. He starts to attack his opponent. And the longer the debate goes, the less his argument has any firmness. It's kind of embarrassing. I'm starting to love the man. I'm not kidding you. Look up Dr. Richard Dawkins. Look him up and start listening to him and John Lennox debate. In my heart, oh Lord. And when I watch, I can see the bobber and the hook right alongside his head. And John Lennox got it. He's got it. John Lennox has it. And 36 inches away is Richard Dawkins, and he doesn't have it. And here's what I love. Two brilliant people. minds and has nothing to do with science, really. It's not intellectualism. It's not the sciences. It's personal. It's spiritual. It all has to do with light and dark. It all has to do with reasons to believe. And I want to ask you this. I want you to be considering how you can be, how I can be, we can be together, salt as an enhancer in our world. Now, friends, I'll end here with this. You have, and I'm grateful, and I'm serious about this, because I know I'm going to be judged someday in front of Jesus Christ himself, and I'm sure I'm going to fail miserably, but this is the reason why some of the stuff that goes on here at this church goes on here, is because I understand this. I may be failing at this, but I understand this. And I heard this week from pastors scolding me about being political. You know, we're supposed to just roll over and let 1266 continue. That ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen. But watch, that's not going to happen. Why? Why? Because when I got saved and when I read my Bible and I read it still, I have been commanded there is no area of retreat in the Christian life. There's no retreat. And so, listen, the thing is this. When evil is advancing, I am to be the salt of the earth. And when a Christian tells me, don't get involved in that stuff, it's political, I want you to know, maybe you're here tonight or maybe you're watching right now, I want you to know I'll be kind to you and I'll smile, but inside I'm saying certain things. And it is this, you have lost your flavor. You have gotten so politically correct and your theology has become so watered down that you think that you can believe in God and nobody can know about it and you can live in an ambiguous Christian life with no effect on the culture and the people around you, and you can point and criticize people who get involved for righteousness' sake to shine their light and to be salt and make yourself feel a little bit better. But the tragedy is this, you've lost your saltiness. And it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. And so when people criticize you for standing up for what's right and scolding out against what is wrong, you know, the Christian knows what's right and wrong. And when people say, no, you shouldn't do that because abortion's a political thing. Marriage is a political thing. And boys running around in girls' locker rooms naked because they feel like they're a girl today, that's a political thing. You know what, man? You must be reading your Bible upside down. Because those are salty things. Those are things of salt.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, and it's a study called The Parable of Being the Salt. The Parable of Being the Salt is part of Pastor Jack's series of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've been telling you about our special offer for this month, Pastor Jack's series called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It's essentially a series of lessons on Christology, a study of the Christ, the Messiah. The foundational verse for this series is Colossians 2:9, a passage that speaks of the deity of our Savior. The life and times of Jesus Christ covers a whole lot of ground: his first coming, the sinner, his atonement, his second coming, the millennial reign, the church. By the way, 16 CDs in all. A lot of information, a lot of real good teaching. Now here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio, you'll get that 16 CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Call, click, or write, just ask for it by name, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the button at the right there that says Special Offer. Here's our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer the traditional way, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.